The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
So we're talking about choosing the best homeschooling curriculum. So my name's Corey. Let me tell you a little bit about us. I'm a bit of a book hoarder. This is our big book room at the Learning House. I used to just hunt down the best books for our family, but now I have the privilege of hunting down all the best books and resources for thousands of homeschooling families across the country. So this is my passion. This is what we love doing. And we've been homeschooling for 23 years now, I think. And my kids have always been homeschooled. Three of them have graduated, but one is still homeschooling. However, most of the time she's store schooling, and this is where we hang out. So my job is to try everything, hunt down everything, and check it all out so that you don't have to do all of that. One of my favorite parts of, oh, thank you. One of my favorite parts of my job, now that most of my kids have graduated, is having these one-to-one conversations with people, doing consultations. So I love having those opportunities to connect with people, whether it's in person or on the phone or by video, talking about where your family is at. What do you love? What do your kids love? What budget limitations do we have? What time limitations do we have? What other things are, what are our passions? What are our difficulties? And talking through what can work for your family. So this is kind of a recap. And what I would really love most is if I could just sit down with everybody one-on-one and hear your story and go through some of these questions. But I'm going to try and give you the questions that I would ask you in a consultation so that you have those tools ready to choose the best homeschooling curriculum for your family. So this is our family. This is at a recent wedding, clearly. I have four daughters, and you will see this daughter here with me this weekend. Anna Mae and her husband, Caleb, are actually live in California now with their daughter, Melody. And they moved to California last July. So my granddaughter lives in California, which is very, very far away. But they are loving the job that they have out there. And that's they're both university graduates. Anna Mae is a homeschool graduate. And then my next daughter is Cherish. This is Cherish, and she is in the final throes of finishing her university degree at Tyndale University. After she graduated from homeschool, she went to Cape and Ray Bible School for a session for a year, and then came back, and she is finishing up at Tyndale University. These two kids here got married in August. They're expecting this baby. And we're excited about grandbaby number two. And they go to Heritage Bible School in Ontario. And Rania is the lone homeschooler in our house. She is the one who gets to be schooled now. So just like when I do a consultation, everybody has a different story. We know that not every resource is going to fit. When people call me and say, I want the best resource for this, we know that not every resource is going to be the right resource for your family. I missed this little treat. This is her. Well, I was just helping her last night while she made some treats for her mommy. So I used to think that there was never too many books. And this is not a picture of my house, but it could be if the Lord had not helped me to put a couple of breaks on. I used to think there was never too many books, but then my house hit critical mass. We don't have a really big house. We had lots of girls, lots of reading, lots of homeschooling. And I just thought, oh, every resource is going to be a useful resource in some way or another. And I realized that that was not necessarily going to be the case. But you kind of start calculating through in your head, how many books can we read in a year? And if we each read that many books in a year and we never read them again, I probably had enough for a lifetime in our house. And maybe some of you do too, or maybe you don't. What we know though is that not every book is going to be worth putting on our shelves, and it might not be worth keeping. So I talk to homeschooling families every single day, And what I really love to do is help you not to get the wrong materials. So, like I said, people will call me up and they'll say, help me find the best homeschooling curriculum. So let's put this all in perspective, first of all. I know that especially if you've gone on social media, you're going to hear from people who say, help, I just started homeschooling. And maybe you're doing that. Does anybody here just started homeschooling? Tell me if you're new. Yeah, I've been there. I remember that. And it's overwhelming. And you're going to come into the vendor hall and you're going to see a lot of things. And it's going to be, there's so much to see. You feel like, oh, it's there's so many shiny, blingy things here that are worth trying. But which one's the best for your family? And so I'll often go on social media and hear somebody say, okay, we just started homeschooling. Where do I get grade 3? Or how do I find the best science curriculum? But the fact is that what's best for me may not be best for you. We all as homeschooling parents, we all want the best for our kids. We want, every mom and dad wants their kids to have a robust, competitive education that's going to prepare them for life, that's going to prepare them for the things that they're uniquely gifted for and that they're passionate about. But that means that my best isn't necessarily going to be your best. My kid may love, my kid does not love video-based learning, and your kid may just be like, this makes my heart sing, turn on the video, watch it, do the assignment, move on. And when I've tried that with my kid, she's like, this is miserable. I don't want to watch videos of my lessons. So what works for us is not necessarily, and it might just be a disaster for you. You might be that crafty family where you can like build a cake in the shape of the Andes. I had a girlfriend that did that once, and it just, the thought of that overwhelmed me, like so much cake, so much icing to make the Andes. And it was gorgeous, and they learned a lot, and thankfully they invited us over. But maybe that's your passion, is a very crafty, hands-on style. And so making sure that we recognize that my best might not be your best. So help me find the right homeschooling curriculum. Let's find the right homeschooling curriculum. I also want to put in place that homeschooling is a phenomenal opportunity for us to build into our kids' lives through family time, through deepened relationships, through shared values that might be different than you would find in the public school system. For responding one-on-one to our kids' strengths, their weaknesses, and for tailoring the style and content of our teaching to our unique children. But we have to put homeschooling in its place. Homeschooling is not a bulletproof solution. It's not what's going to fix all the problems that you've seen in public education or in other families or in your family or in your child. Don't let homeschooling become that idol. When, as Christian homeschooling parents, and I'm coming at this from the perspective of a Christian homeschooling parent, what we need is for our kids to be in relationship rightly with God, with their family and other key people, and with the content and the deep value of knowledge that He gives us. So homeschooling isn't a magic bullet that fixes everything. So keep that in mind. There are more important things than homeschooling. Gasp. Maybe I shouldn't say that here, but it is an element of educating our children well and caring for them well, but it's not about homeschooling. So, darn, it's stuck. Come on. Okay. Sorry, got stuck there. My computer probably decided to do an update or something. Let's talk about finding the right curriculum. There's some basic things that we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of as well. Every kid needs certain things. There's other things that are going to be unique to your family. There's not a perfect curriculum. There is going to be what you find you're going to need to adapt in one way or another because it worked just right for this kid and not for the next kid. But we'll talk a little bit about what a robust plan looks like and what a curriculum actually is, because a lot of times you get stuck on the wrong pieces. Okay. So what is curriculum? It's a course of study. A course of study is a plan of studies. It comes from the Latin word, which actually means the action of running, a course of action. And it can also mean like a race or a chariot. So the curriculum is both, or can both refer to your plan going ahead and the stuff you're using. So we can talk about a math curriculum, a geography curriculum, but in general, a general overview of a curriculum might be that aggregate of all of the courses. And in Ontario, like that would be called the Ontario Elementary Curriculum. And we would work towards a provincially accredited diploma. That's the end goal, is that we've checked off all of the boxes of the content in that course of study. Okay, so curriculum isn't just the books, but the books are the tools that we use in order to go through that or plan of study. Now, when mapping out a course of study, looking at, you know, if somebody was going to make create a race, and they're going to both plan the route and the finish line. So this is part of our plan as well. How are we going to get there? And what is the end goal in terms of planning? So with homeschooling, the route or the plan can include things like teacher guides and student guides, but it can also include things like novels, activities, adventures, projects, trips, relationships, and mentoring. Our kids can learn so, so much from relationships and mentoring, especially in the high school years when we have students that are looking towards apprenticeships and trades. Getting into those mentorship relationships are phenomenal for them. It can be about skill development and experiential learning. So it's not just about getting the best. It's not about getting homeschool curriculum. It's not about getting the books, but it's about looking at the course of study that we're working towards. So there you go. So where is it? What's the finish line that we're working towards? I actually, if you're a connected person, you could check on Facebook. I actually just recently put a question up, and the question is, so if you go, if you're on Facebook and you just need to sort of scroll a little bit while we're chatting, or if you could answer me this question, go to the Learning House Canada. And my question there is, what's your big picture end goal for homeschooling? Where do you hope your kids will be at the end of this? So what is that end goal? Where do you want to see your kids when they're done homeschool? I put this up a little while ago. Let me see whether anybody has answered me. And if you want to add an answer to that in the next little bit, then let me know. Okay. I'll check back there. So like in a race, we're going to plot a course, beginning and an end, but we need to start by asking why. Where are we going with this? What's the finish line? This is, as a homeschooler, remember, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. I talk to moms and dads that have an intention to homeschool for 2 months, 3 months, half a year or a year. And that's a good choice for their family. They may be going on a trip. They may be addressing some health or learning challenges, that's a short amount of time that you're doing homeschooling. Many of us are in for a long haul, 2, 3, 6, 10, 20 years, 25 years. And no matter what you're doing, expect it to be a marathon and not a sprint. We don't see tons of outcomes in 2 or 3 months in homeschool. This is a long goal. So have a vision. What is your end goal? A book that I read many years ago, and if you could get your hands on it, it's worth reading. It's a really quick read, and it's out of print. It's called Raising a Modern Day Joseph. It is written by Larry Fowler, who is a leader in the Awana movement. And he asks in that book, what do you want to say about these kids when they're 30? And when we think about the answer to that question as homeschooling parents, a lot of the time we're working on the wrong things. Because my answer to the question is not about math and science and reading. It's about who they are as a person. It's about their character. As a Christian parent, it's about where my kids are at in relationship to their God. And so this is a really key question that we need to put in front of us, because we can get lost in the forest for all the trees. And it's worth thinking about the science and the math and the reading curriculums. And it's worth working towards those, because those are the tools our kids use and the skills that they need in order to effectively be all God wants them to be. But they're not the end goal. So you might be saying, listen, I just came here to figure out what's the right grammar curriculum. And I respect that. But this exercise is worth doing, especially on those days when you're questioning all your life choices, right? Like all of those kids are rebelling in one way or another, and the house is a mess, and nobody's eaten anything but Cheerios for 3 days. And I've been there. We need to know our why. We need to know both where we're going and why we're doing this. So take a few minutes, take a half an hour, take a day, take whatever it takes to figure out where you're going and why you're going there. So that, and write it down. What are you doing this for? Maybe it's to see your kids reach their potential, their full potential. Maybe it's to see them thrive emotionally and mentally as well as academically. Maybe it's so that you can have a closer family unit, help your kids with health challenges. All of these things have been part of why we've homeschooled. What about seeing your kids' natural giftings and giving them the opportunity to better nurture it? What about jumping off what everybody says you should do and trying something more or different? One of the rules for my kids in high school is that they have to do something they couldn't do if they were in a regular public school. And that has meant travel, missions. It's meant some really cool things for my kids that they wouldn't have been able to do if they had been in school. So in our house, that's part of why we do this, and we keep that in front of us, so that on those days when somebody is like, I don't want to ever do math again, and I think, yeah, but I probably don't either. We need to be able to say, this is our why. And then write it down and keep that phrase in front of you. Keep that sentence, keep that vision, keep that idea. Put it on a piece of paper and put it on the mirror. Write it on your phone. Memorize those 10 seconds for when that person who loves your child dearly, but might not understand fully why you're homeschooling, says, why don't you just put them in school? Keep that in mind and have that there. So, okay, now we've talked about the destination and we have a reason. Let's talk about the tools. Whoops, I keep forgetting to show these to you. So what do you want to say about these kids when they're 30, and what is your why? Let's talk about tools. Now, I live in Ontario. We have some family in BC. My husband is a car guy. He actually is in ministry with Youth for Christ, and he runs a vehicle donation program. So if you guys have a car you don't want to keep anymore, you can send it to us in Ontario. They will give you a tax receipt. They work on these vehicles with at-risk youth, with kids that are marginalized in one way or another. And they teach them marketable skills, and they teach them life skills, but they also invest in them spiritually. But part of the result of this is that in 25 years of parenting teenagers in our house, and because we were parenting teens like us foster parents when our kids were really little, in 25 years of fostering and raising teenage girls, my husband feels that every life lesson can be taught with a car analogy. So I have learned this too. So as I was thinking through this and remembering and thinking through about tools that we need for this journey, one of the things that came to mind is a trip that he took visiting family in BC. He ended up driving a vehicle back here that had been in BC, driving back to Ontario with it. And he drove all across the country in this vehicle. He was having the time of his life because he's a car guy. So he said he just like rolled down the windows and started east, and he didn't look at a map. He just went, I'll find my way there. Like, keep looking for Toronto and then turn. So, while he was on this trip, he had some tools with him, some, you know, just basic wrenches and the things you use for fixing cars. But he also ended up having to stop at a Canadian Tire in Saskatchewan. And while he was there, he had to change his alternator. And at other times, given a more reliable vehicle, he would have made it all across the country. But this time he found himself stuck in a Canadian Tire parking lot with no reason, like no friends and family around, and a broken alternator. And it was coming close to closing on a Saturday, and he has this old banged up car, and he's like, there's no way they're going to have the part and the tools that I need, because you can't just do this with, you know, some duct tape and wrenches. And he went in and said, I need this part. And they went, there you go. And they had it. And he was able to get those specialized items that he didn't have in his car. So that journey continued on, and it was very memorable for him, because in part there was so many people that stopped and were so kind to him. People don't do that in Ontario. Are you okay? Do you need a sandwich? Want me to bring you home for dinner? He's like, I'll fix the car and I'll move on. It wasn't expected. So your kid might be that kind of kid that can just take any toolbox and deal with any situation that we throw at them. They can learn from any resource, whether it's simple, whether it's complex, whether it's expensive, whether it's economical. They might just jump on certain concepts and just be totally flexible and be able to deal with it in any kind of way. Other kids might struggle and be more particular, need more help, need more specialized tool, or need something, need a specialized support team. You might need to stop on the side of the road and go find somebody and say, listen, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the tools for it. Maybe your family is like the very hands-on, loves organic experiential learning, and you want a full Charlotte Mason style toolkit with all the sticks and birds' nests and binoculars and good books. And others might say, hey, we really thrive on a multimedia style toolkit. Others might say, hey, we also are going to remember too, that while the best way to learn about European history would be to go on a tour of Europe, we also have to make sure we keep this within budget. Okay. So choosing the right tools and choosing the tools that fit within our budget are important. So let's start with, what does your child need? What makes them unique? What do they have a passion for? When you're looking at resources and wandering through there, people are going to tell you about their resources. This is great because of this. But think about what my kid needs. What are they passionate about or particular about? What do they struggle with? What do they excel at? Do they love bookwork or do they hate sitting still? A lot of our little people just do not like to sit still for bookwork, and they're not ready for that. And that's okay. That time may come, because there might be a different season or a different child that can sit through those bookwork times more easily. Do your kids learn well in a crowd, or do they do better with a quiet environment? Some of my kids really needed to have the storm of girl chatter moved off to the side so that they could effectively learn better. So what is their learning needs, and what are their learning styles? And we could talk all day long about like a visual style learner, where we learn by looking at, interpreting pictures, videos, charts. Who's got that kid that has that photographic memory? Maybe you have a reader and a writer. That was me. I was the kid that always, I could read the book, but then when I started writing things down, that's when it sticks in my head. Maybe you have an auditory learner, somebody who learns by listening, speaking, discussing, explaining. There's a lot of discussing and explaining over the dinner table at our house, because some of my kids are very auditory and others are very kinesthetic. They learn by hands-on through a combination of modalities, healing, moving, touching, doing, playing games, building things, getting their hands on. And we have to remember that this is going to change from child to child, and sometimes it changes over time. So take a look at those things. What we don't have to have a degree in this to say, I know that kid works better by getting their hands on and playing a game than by filling out a workbook. Or I know this kid just really loves filling out sheets because they've seen their sister or their brother do that. And that makes them so happy to be able to have a little workbook to work on. And another thing to remember is, what do you need? When I was, had been homeschooling for a while, I came to a point in our curriculum, and this might surprise you, but I kind of used to put my blinders on, like, I have a curriculum that works. I don't need to see anything else. I don't want to know about any other writing curriculum. I don't want to know about any other math curriculum. And I sat down with a friend of mine, a mom who has, she has now graduated all 12 of her kids from homeschool, 35 years of homeschooling. She is such a hero to me. She is such an amazing lady. At that point, she hadn't graduated nearly so many. She'd graduated a couple. And she said, you know, one year I was just totally done with a curriculum. And so I was just so bored with it. I'd been teaching from it for, you know, decades at this point, probably 10, 15, 20 years. And my sister said, why not just put it aside? And so I did. And they enjoyed their year more because mom was feeling a little bit crazy with doing the same curriculum that she'd done with 4 or 5 or 6 kids already. So what do you need, mom? When she told me that, I was like, I'm pitching this curriculum, at least for now. And we did. We set aside a particular curriculum that we had that I still really liked. It's still a good curriculum, but I'd been doing that same curriculum for 10 years and I was done. I needed a break, and we did something different for a year, and it was really refreshing. And then we got back to something that we knew worked for our family. So what do you need? Homeschooling can't be done unless you're an invested parent, involved in what needs to be done. And so if you can't manage the content, then modify the plan. That's okay. Homeschooling materials are not made for school application. And that's something that I often need to talk through with people as we go through consultations. They'll say, but I don't have a teacher degree. I've never taught before. That's okay. Homeschooling materials are made for parents who do not have degrees. Usually, if you have a teacher book, it may be scripted, or it will fully outline what you need to do. Often there isn't even a teacher book, and we're just going to sit and read with our students. We become more the facilitator in the work. But do you want a really hands-on style of doing it? Then do it. If you need hands-off, and lots of moms and dads have lots and lots of responsibilities, it is worth budgeting your time, budgeting your energy, and budgeting your enthusiasm for the things that you know you need to do. So if you have a lot of littles that will interrupt and need attention, keep that in mind. Do you have a job? So many moms, when I started speaking at conferences, 15 years ago, more than 15 years ago, most of the moms that were homeschooling, we were not working a second job, and homeschooling is your job. Some were doing a little bit here and there, but more and more I'm talking to moms who are working part-time or full-time, either in the house or out of the house. We're really busy people. And even if we are not working for pay, we're volunteering in the community, we're contributing to kids programs, to co-ops, to church. And you might have extended family needs that are taking a lot of your time. So another thing too is look at curriculums that might overwhelm you. There's some great curriculums out there, but they have very open-ended lessons. Here's a place to draw what you learned. Maybe that's too open-ended for you. Keep in mind what works for you, and look for that scripted curriculum, or look for that curriculum that's made for a student to be independent with. Or do you need more support from your community? Do you love co-ops? Is that something that really refreshes you, invigorates you, or does it add a burden of stress to your life? I'm an extrovert. I love being around people and chatting all day. After we're done here, I'm going to go back to the Learning House booth and we're going to chat all day long and I'll love it. But I got my kids in a co-op, and that was the most stressful thing for me. because it added to my burden of lessons that I needed to prepare and things that we had to be ready for by that time of the week. So keep in mind those kinds of things. What's your teaching style? Do you like those arts and crafts and building a cake of the Andes? Or do you feel like you want something that's more structured and gives you, I'm going to spend this amount of time on this subject and then move on to other things? This is something that's just worth asking ourselves. Now, the next thing to ask, of course, is what's your budget? As much as we might have this sense of the ideal, we also have limitations. And I just want to assure you that you can do a phenomenal amount on a modest budget. I have access to all of those books that I show you pictures of. We have more than 10,000 in-stock items. When my kid decided she wanted a different math curriculum, I let her walk up and down the aisle. But that wasn't the way 5 years ago, and that wasn't the way when my kids were really little. Our family went into full-time ministry the year that we started homeschooling, and we had to decide, like, do we want these school books or do we want to see the dentist? And so there was a lot of creative management of homeschool materials. We borrowed, we went to the library, and honestly, a library card in the hand of a homeschooling mom is a very powerful thing, and you pay your taxes. Now we have to be discerning. And what I found at the library 20 years ago, I have to be very discerning, and I'd have to look through and see whether this was worth bringing into our house and worth spending time on. But you don't have to spend all the money. Moms and dads, I have a book buying problem. I know that. But when my kids were little, I kept a list. What is it that we need? If I found it used, if I could borrow it from a friend, we would do that. And I saved up those coins for the things that I knew that we were going to have to use repetitively, that were going to be used by other children. And we found ways to make it economical. We did a lot of buying of used books. Something to keep in mind now that I'm on the end working with the Learning House, something that we often hear from people is some of the things that they should have thought of when buying used books. And two key things that you want to look at when you're getting used books is to keep in mind that if you get an old edition of a book, it may cost you more than if you bought the new one in the beginning. So watch for those editions. You might get like an old teacher's guide and be like, oh, wow, I spent $30 on this old teacher's guide and it's usually $100. But you can't get the student book for it now. You can't get the tests. You can't so on and so forth. So look at those editions, because sometimes we found that people have spent more in doing that than we want them to, when we could have helped them to get something more economical. The other thing, too, is look at things where make sure that you have a complete set if you are buying something used, or that if you need to buy more pieces, it's not going to be more economical to just get a full set. So sometimes you'll get that teacher guide and realize, I need this manipulative and that test kit, and I need activity sheets, and I need answers for the activity sheets, and I need some manipulatives, and it actually might have been more economical if you'd bought the whole thing altogether. So look and see what other resources are required, whether you're getting something that's old edition. Look and see whether something can be reproduced. As a publisher as well and an author, it's important to us to be able to express how much love and heart goes into creating the resources that you use. And especially if you're supporting Canadian publishers and authors, like, go in there and hug them all, because they put their heart into this. And American publishers and authors can put out a book and have an audience that's 10 times the size, meaning that they have the ability to make a living off of their writing. And Canadian authors and publishers can put in the same amount of love and effort and quality into their creations, but they cannot get it into the same audience. Writing and publishing Canadian materials is a labor of love that people have done for you. If they tell you you can reproduce the pages, and some of them they can, we publish, for example, Apple Press materials. All of those pages are reproducible. You can use the pages, reproduce them. Other pieces that we publish, we ask you not to. We ask you to just get the next piece, because we put our heart into doing that, and love on those people, because they will then be able to make you more good resources. And you know what? Book a consultation. Like, I love doing this and chatting through one-on-one with people, hearing your story and helping to say, oh gosh, no, don't do that. That's not the right resource for you right now. Let's save our money and do something different. And here's something I would challenge you to look at. So our consultations at the Learning House are always free. We love doing it. We have a team of customer service people who will help you out with resources. Most of them are homeschooling parents, homeschooling grads, or parents that have graduated from homeschooling and so on. So the other thing is be flexible and work with what you have. When my kids were littler and we had a super tight budget, I wanted all the cute little letter tiles. I made them. Like we gained a lot more by sweat equity by just putting the work into it. There was times when I wrote out assignments for my kids because I didn't have the money to buy a separate student book, where I made my own handwriting pages. And so putting that sweat equity into it is one way that we can save some money. Okay, so now we've got tools and now we want to talk about what we need them for. And that is, can we read that? That's really small. Curriculum is your servant. It's not your master. We're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of subjects and things that we want to do, but some basics first of all. The really key things that I would do, and like the core part of a curriculum plan, would be, first of all, let your kids know that you love them, that it's more important that we make it through this together, even if it's messy and hard, and then that they feel like mom and dad hate me, they made me do math. So relationship is key in homeschooling, and that's a lot of what we're doing in homeschooling, is making sure that our kids know that they are loved by their Father God, that they know that they are loved by their mom and dad, and that they know that they are loved by their extended family and some key people in their lives. The next thing is reading and math. And those are the core things. I'm going to chat a little bit more about that in a bit, but in general, we want to do that and have a general program for K-12. That's the core piece. So let's expand on that. First of all, the first core piece, the math and the language arts. The second is that general education piece. This is the part where I need to like throw my hands all around. I would kind of think in like three circles when we're making a curriculum plan. Has anybody here done a consult with me? Am I saying stuff that you've heard me say over and over again? We'll talk about the core piece, and that's your math and your language arts. The next layer is the pieces that are in general education, the kind of things that help our kids to be I lost my train of thought. That help us to be well-rounded. That's what I'm trying to say. The history, the geography, the science, Bible as a subject, not Bible as a devotional option, but Bible as a subject. And then the last layer would be all the electives, all the fun stuff, the stuff that makes school worth doing, the stuff where your kid's like, I just get on fire about that stuff. I love doing that stuff. Or the stuff that is worth doing because that's what your family values. Like there was times when my kids were like, why do I do piano lessons? I don't want to do piano lessons. But they have each come back to me later and said, I am so glad that I learned piano so that I can participate in worship, or so that I can play that song, or because it's soothing to me to be able to play when I'm stressed out and just sit down at the piano. So those electives, things that are not necessarily a part of the most schoolish subjects. The core part, so I'm going to go back to this, is math and language arts. And we want to focus on these, especially in the K-8 range, because they are the most disciplinary subjects. They're the things that we can't get by without. If we can't read, we can't do all of the other good things. If we don't have math, we don't have the level of functional numeracy needed to be able to operate as a strong, capable adult later. And they're also disciplinary in that we can't really binge on them the way that we might do with other subjects. So with math, I can accomplish so much more by spending 15 minutes doing math with my kids every day, 5 days a week, than if we chose to do math once a week for an hour and 15 minutes. If you just say on Tuesday, we're going to do a big chunk of math, and then next week sometime we'll do another big chunk of math, our kids cannot internalize that the same way that they could if we just gave them small bites, but gave it more regularly. Just like if you ever saw me play hockey, you wouldn't have a clue that I knew the rules of the game. Knowing how to do it is not equal to knowing or being able to do it. And so doing the math, learning the reading, practicing the spelling, the handwriting, all of those language arts are things that we have to get better at by disciplining ourselves and doing that repetitive practice. So math and the language arts are the pieces that we want to focus on having that repetitive core time every day with our kids. And if you're just starting out, if you're struggling, if you have a kid that's just is like, I don't love learning, start with the reading. Start with learning to read and controlling your pencil. And in the very young years, when we're 4, 5, 6, 7, that's the core piece. And once we have got some control over our pencil and we have the basics of starting to read, we can put together, we know what our letters look like, what sounds they represent, and how to squish them together into those basic consonant, vowel, consonant words, we can start into other things. But we don't have to have our kids be working heavily on spelling, grammar, writing, all of those things, unless we've got that core piece started. And if all of that is overwhelming, start with that. Start with just reading and handwriting. And then we'll add the math in when we're ready. And don't skip it. It's worth doing. But give yourself those bite-sized chunks. So that inner layer, math and language arts, is the center. It's the most important. It's what gets us the tools to do all the rest. And I've heard very educated speakers and PhD authors speak before and write about this. And they said, really, in some ways, you can narrow all of our learning down into two subjects, learning to read and then reading. Because when we read, we can do all of the other things. And so there was a time too when like things were very overwhelming in our house. And I had this little one that really needed to be doing a proper school plan. But there was a lot going on. So we just focused on reading. We didn't do math. And she should have done math. And she was old enough that she should have been doing math. Do you know what? She's doing fine in math. It's a long game. And so what she missed in those first months and couple of years when she should have done some math, it was okay because we learned to read and we focused on what our family needed to get through some crazy times then. And then the second layer, those general education pieces are the things like science, history, geography. And I am always encouraging moms and dads a few things. I might be getting ahead of myself here. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. We talked about the disciplinary subjects like language arts and math. It's giving me a really small preview. All right. So, and then the discretionary subjects are the things like social studies, science, and Bible. And these are the ones that we can have a lot more flex on. And actually, let me jump back here. I just skipped a little piece here about language arts and math. I just talked briefly that like our youngest young years, like K to one age, phonics, handwriting, then we add spelling. Your program might integrate that in and start with that. But the focus really, even with an integrated program, is let's make sure that we know the sounds and how we start to put them together, because we need to be able to decode words. Like we need to be able to look at a word and figure out what that means before we can start to make the code ourselves to spell, to start to take those pieces and make them into words. So phonics and handwriting, then spelling. Then, you know, this might be progression of like grade one, we do phonics and handwriting. Then grade two, we add spelling. Then grade three, we add writing and grammar. And because we're homeschoolers, this is not a definitive outline. It has to work with your family and your kids, but that's kind of the way that we might add to it. And then we're going to age out of phonics and add in other things like reading comprehension and vocabulary. And in grade, you know, 5, 6, 7, we're going to start doing novel studies rather than just reading good books. and we'll start making compositions. And so that in our high school years, we're ready to do things like literature studies and research papers and formal writing. Math usually comes in grades because you don't drop a stream like you don't, like we would with phonics. So math, we can usually get a bundle where it's a general grade 9 or a grade 3 or grade 6 level, and where we cover all of those different topics like number sense, like measurement, spatial sense and geometry and so on. So when choosing those, keep those in mind. And then I said discretionary topics. These are discretionary for a few reasons. And that, first of all, I would say is because we can choose what topics we do. If you've chosen to take your child out of the public school system and you say, hey, like this year, we are just like all about volcanoes. Like this kid just wants to like blow things up and watch the documentaries and go to Hawaii and do all of these things, read the books about volcanoes, then do it and you can. But if you find out that, hey, next year, this child has to integrate into a classroom and all the kids learned about botany this year, your child is not going to be behind because they're going to probably study astronomy or something. And we don't have to know botany or volcanoes in order to be ready for astronomy. Science, geography, history, Bible, these are all very discretionary topics where we don't have in the elementary years content building upon content in the same way. Also, you can do a lot with your kids together. We want our kids to move along in a progressive way with math and language arts, but we could all study volcanoes, and I can have a high school student learn far more about volcanoes in a family integrated way than maybe their youngest sibling if we chose to do it that way. High school, we usually actually get into specialized things for science and so on. But my children is calling. We can integrate a lot together with families. We can choose what content we want. We can also choose the mode of learning. So if you are like, we just love reading books, like we're a Charlotte Mason family, we've got this phenomenal idea for 3 or 4 good read alouds or historic fictions or biographies of scientists or whatever, dive in. If you are the hands-on, we're going to go to every field trip, we're going to go try that project, we're going to blow up that volcano, we're going to get out so much vinegar and baking soda that we have to go outside and make this happen, like, do it. You might be most comfortable saying, hey, I got a workbook for this. We read some stuff. We did some papers. We colored some things. We've got something to show grandma for what we finished. And it gave us time to move on and do other things afterwards. Do it. The mode is totally discretionary. Decide what works for your family. The content, the mode, doing it together with your family or separately. You can also choose when you do this. You might be a science, you might decide like science is Monday, geography is Tuesday. We really like science, so we're going to do science on Wednesday and history on Thursday. And Fridays, we just catch up. Or you might say we do science in September and geography in October and so on. So you can choose how much time you devote to it, because our children don't need to have a certain amount of learning to be able to be like high school ready for these discretionary topics. Now, if we're talking about high school readiness, there's a whole different topic. And we would start talking about where does your child want to be at the end of high school? What are some prerequisites there? What make us well-rounded and a good citizen? Like, we should know a certain amount about Canadian history and geography in order to be well-rounded and culturally aware and perhaps prepared for post-secondary pathways. We need to know a certain amount of science or math to be ready for many, many post-secondary pathways. We need to know how to communicate well in English or in the language of our next education. So whether that's post-secondary learning or a job market or wherever you're going to be next, we need to have strong language communication skills. So we need to work on those things. But again, it can be very, very generalized and it can be delivered in a way that meets your family's needs best. So very discretionary, those general education topics. And then the electives. And the electives are so worth doing it. In the Charlotte Mason style education, we would call those the riches. And they would include anything like art, music, phys ed, cooperative learning, whether that's like learning in groups with families or like, what would you call it? Like an internship style learning, mentorship style learning, where we're working with someone who can teach us in a particular area of learning, whether it's economics, psychology, philosophy, logic, French, English, Latin, other languages. English is not elective. Latin. And Latin is one of those things that like some homeschooling parents are like, you homeschool, you have to learn Latin. And others of us are like, we made it through. We did it. But there are some really key values or like valuable things for a student who knows some Latin. So choose that. Decide, is this what our family wants? One of my kids found some learning opportunity with like some books on archaeology, and she was so excited about it. That was an elective. I wouldn't have chosen it for her. She really wanted to do it. And so we did, because it was what made her learning rich. These are the subjects that it's much more easy to construct a curriculum. You might fall upon something that, oh, there's this really cool art class. Like, we never would have joined a choir. My kids and I are not prone towards like singing for people in public. But there is a really cool choir that happens in our homeschool group. And there's like 150 kids that show up. And I was like, you should try. You should try. Because it's available and it's a cool thing to do. And when we finally tried it, she just loved it. It was just an opportunity. It wasn't because we went looking for choir, but because it was there. These are often still subjects that lend themselves to working with all of our kids together. When my kids were littler, that was part of the rules. Like, if we can't all do this, then I'm not signing you up for it. And then some kid wanted to do driver's ed. And I was like, well, I guess we can't get your six-year-old sister into driver's ed. So we kind of jumped off of that after a while, but do what lends to having your family enjoy the time together. And keep in mind that these are discretionary subjects and it doesn't all have to be done every day or all year long. If you are studying Shakespeare and you're that Charlotte Mason style family and you're like, yeah, we're going to study Shakespeare with our 8-year-old, go for it. Charlotte Mason didn't do that every day. It was a unit that they did. It was a time that they learned that, and you can really enjoy it, but know that it's at your discretion how you want to approach these things. The big idea here, though, is to blow the walls off of the schoolhouse. When choosing your resources or your plan of study, don't limit yourself to just these books. Kids are learning all the time in all kinds of ways. Use books, but also use the field trips, the games, the crafts, the activities, the connections with your family and community. And use the library, borrow books from friends, get the used books. And when you need to, come and support your local booksellers and retailers. We really want to love on you. And this is our passion. My passion is, I'm a homeschooling mom. I love Christian education. I love equipping people to educate their children well. And we really feel like we can, and not just me, but so many of our comrades here in the vendor hall. We are here to save you money over big online stores that are not going to care. They're going to send you 3 copies of the book that you accidentally put in your cart that you have to pay to send back and so on. We're going to call you and say, did you really want the grade 3 student book with the grade 4 teacher book? We want to help you with those kinds of things. And so blow the walls off of the schoolhouse. It doesn't have to just be done in one way. Ask the right questions and take the time and enjoy. So remember, it's not... I have a helper that did all of these transitions for me, and she had a ton of fun. It's not about finding the best homeschool curriculum. It's about plotting that course, knowing where you're going, being properly equipped with the right tools, and knowing what tasks you're going to work on with those tools. The end goal, the end of this course, the end of this race, is that you're going to get to the end, graduate a student that's fully prepared for their next educational experience or for work opportunities, that you're graduating a student that's fully living out God's unique plan for their lives. It's about that how, I'm sorry, it's about the why and the what that you want to say about your kids when they're 30. Let me just see if I have, if anybody was brave enough to give me an answer. Nobody's been brave enough to give me an answer yet. That's okay. You can tell me later about what you want to say. And think about that. What do you want to say about your kids when they're 30? And look for resources that suit their learning style, their passions, their abilities, that meet your needs as a parent, that fall within your budget, and that offer that broad and varied subject matter, but with a strong foundation in those core things, math and language arts. Keep your eye on the long game. Remember that vision, that long goal, and remember your why. Know those boundaries and live within them. We can have a vibrant educational experience. And I probably shouldn't say this as an educational consultant and a bookseller, but like, I think my kids had a very, like a thoroughly mediocre academic experience homeschooling. And we aren't the most academic family. We love education. We love family. We love God. There are some really academic programs out there that will suit some families really well. And we didn't jump on those. And that's okay. Those were our boundaries. That was sanity for me, was to say, we're going to do okay and focus on our relationships, focus on, because we're not going to get away from this without finishing this amount. And I'm telling you, it's not the benchmark, and I don't want you to live your family based on the way that I've lived my life. But my kids got into university. They can get into university. And university is never the be-all and the end-all. That is not success. But homeschooling with mediocre academics can prepare your child for that next stage quite well and quite academically, or quite adequately. So know your boundaries, be flexible, and let that curriculum be your servant, not your master. Come and talk to us if you want to. Something here that I'll let you see. And normally I would have, but I forgot we got stuck in the snow and barely got here in time. I would usually bring you our cards. We do have available cards at the Learning House booth that have all of this information on it. And they also have a free ship code on them, because I'd love for you to take home all of the books here today, because I don't want to take them back home because we packed a lot. But if you're not ready, we do have a free ship code on there that's ready, that's available for a week, so that you can go home, can think of stuff. If you still need help and you're like, I don't know what to do, call the store, book a consultation, tell them I want to use my free ship code. Corey might not be able to chat with you this week because I have other consultations already booked. But if they note that we are going to chat, you can use that free ship code after we chat. We also have just a phenomenal customer service team. And our key part to hiring people onto our team is that they have to have a heart for Christian home education. They need to love helping people care for their families and do education well in a godly way. So let us know. You can give us a call. Come see us at the booth over there. And this is another thing that this is just a shameless promotion. I am so thrilled and I'm so excited to share that we are going to be, for the second year running, we're going to be offering a homeschool scholarship for homeschool graduates. And last year we were able to give 3 students $1,000 scholarships for students that were going on to college or university, having graduated from homeschool, because God has just so blessed us to be able to move from, do I choose between good school books and giving my kids dental care, to just being able to bless other families. So there's cards for that. So if you have a graduate in your life, or you know somebody who's graduating from grade 12 this year, or has just graduated from grade 12 in homeschool, then come and get one of those cards and they can apply for those scholarships. We're really excited about this. Thanks for spending the time with me. I've given you more questions to ask than answers. So I hope that you can take those questions and use those to filter through things as you look through the vendor hall, as you look online, and as you ask questions. Thanks for your time.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. please visit them at learninghouse.ca.